All right, it's great to see you here today. We're glad you've joined us. I don't know if you're like me, but man, I'm so glad that this weather is going to hold off until later in the day. You know, that it's not going to affect our time together here this morning. You know, and I'm just so encouraged by the weather people here. I saw the latest forecast this morning, and it said that they're pretty sure now we're going to get between 1 and 76 inches of something. Okay, so we can wait on that later today. I was talking to somebody too. I said, you know, wouldn't it be really neat if we had a Pittsburgh and Philadelphia Super Bowl? What are the odds? Pretty slim, isn't it? Yeah, but we will see. Today. Somebody asked this morning at our prayer time with the pastors, they said, are we going to pray for Ben today? I said, absolutely not. We can thank God for Ben today. We're not going to pray for him, though. I'm pretty convinced that God has other things to think about other than my sporting teams. At least that seems to be the way it is with me. So maybe it'll be different with you. But it's that time of year again. And well, I'm excited this morning to continue to talk to you about this new series that we started last week where we're filling in the blank. Last week we left the blank unfilled because we just talked about how important it was that we live a life of examination, that we allow God to help us to examine our lives and certainly different aspects of our lives and how they stack up to what His Word says that we should be in lots of different areas. And today we're going to fill in the blank with how's your soul. Now, if you remember last week, I actually told you that this actually was how this series was born in my mind and heart anyway, is because of a book written by Judah Smith entitled How's Your Soul. And seeing that book on my shelf for a number of years and finally taking it down recently and reading it just really kind of lit a fire under me. And so we're going to fill this. He doesn't do it in the book. The only thing he deals with in the book is this idea of how's your soul. But, I just got to thinking about, you know, you can ask that about almost anything in life. You know, how's your whatever? And we're going to be doing that over the next number of weeks here together. So let me begin by asking you this question. Do you like to travel? Do you like traveling? Okay, when somebody asks you like answer that. Do you like traveling, yes or no? Yes, you like traveling? You know, I've been blessed to go to a number of different places around the world. And, you know, I've always thought, man, I love to travel. Until one time several years ago that I had flown to Amsterdam, and then I'd gotten on a plane there, and I had to fly all the way down to South Africa. Now, if you're a geography student, you kind of know that's leaving Amsterdam and flying over Europe and over France and over the Mediterranean and down over, you know, North Africa and all the way down the continent of Africa to the very bottom of Africa. And I remember when I got on the plane there, it was like a 9-hour flight from Amsterdam down to South Africa. And I literally watched that little GPS airplane for 9 hours. Man, it went slow. And I realized then that, you know what? I don't think I like traveling. I like arriving. You know, don't you? I mean, you think about traveling. I know when Kristen and Nathan several years ago, they went and spent a summer over in Papua New Guinea, and they flew from Atlanta to L.A., and then they got on an airplane in L.A., and they flew 16 hours nonstop to Sydney, Australia. Man, that is too long on an airplane. And I think the last thing that I would say to a stewardess or anybody else, you filled this thing up with gas, didn't you? 16 hours nonstop in a huge jet. unbelievable to me. And to me, that just sounds brutal. You know, but while traveling is a lot of times tedious and a lot of times worrisome, and I love arriving. You know, I love this time of year. You know, sometimes if you go to Pittsburgh and you get on an airplane, a couple of hours, you can be in South Florida. You know, and leave Pennsylvania at 30 degrees, or this morning, 4 degrees, and 2 hours, you get off and it's sunny and bright and warm. It's incredible. I struggle with traveling, but I love arriving. And here's the thing, folks. This whole series is about understanding that there are things about your life that a lot of times the journey in those things are difficult, they're tough, they're tedious, they're taxing, they're troublesome, they're hard. But you know what? When we go through those kinds of journeys that we know that are leading somewhere wonderful, the journey seems a little bit easier to handle. You know, when you know that you're going somewhere and you're going to arrive in a place that is beautiful and wonderful and glorious and maybe even warm and all these kinds of things, or exciting, that you're going to experience things that you've never experienced before. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. You're going to meet people that you've never known before. God is going to show you things that you didn't think really even existed. You see, the journey a lot of times is the difficult part. But when we always understand that we are going to arrive somewhere, you know, it makes the journey that much easier. You know, Judah Smith, in this book that I'm referring to, he says each of us have a soul, and that soul should be healthy. Each of us have a soul, and that soul should be healthy. Now, if I were to ask you, what is your soul? Would you know how to answer that? You know, a person's soul is very, very difficult to recognize. It's difficult to articulate. It's difficult to see, to describe. Most of the time, when you ask somebody about their soul, they don't know what you're talking about. They think that you're asking them about something that is totally outside of themselves and outside of the control or the limitations of their faith. But in reality, if you study the Bible and what it has to say and how it describes this part of us that we refer to as the soul, it is really, really interesting. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes about talking about today. He says in his book, and I totally agree with him, that basically the soul is the inside you. That if you were to ask yourself, what is my soul, or how is my soul, that you have to look on the inside of yourself, internally. The soul is not something that you can look at somebody and see. It's their soul is something that they experience and they allow you to experience as well. A soul is not something that we can pull out and show somebody. But he said, in the simplest of terms, the soul is what is inside of you. And you know what, folks? I'm convinced that's a part of ourselves that we very rarely let people see. And even more so, we very rarely think about its condition. We very rarely allow people to see who our soul, who we are on the inside. And we very rarely think about the condition of that soul. You know, just recently I had this, you know, come to my mind because I was, you know, we I'm sure you've seen, we have this new little dog in our house. He's almost a year old now. He's 11 months old. Henry's his name. And You know, he has this one rule in life, and the rule is that wherever I am is where he wants to be. If I'm in the kitchen, if I'm in the bedroom, if I go out and get in my car, even if I go to the bathroom, he wants to be right where I am. Well, the other evening, I took him out, the very last thing, as we always do, and it's time to go to bed, and usually we go in, get in the bed, and he jumps up on the end of our bed. We got this, you know, this big king-size bed. I have to look for Arlene to find her in it. It's so big. And he has his spot down at the end of that bed, and that's where he parks himself because he wants to be close to me or to us. Well, he didn't come into the bedroom. I laid there for a few minutes. I even called him, and he didn't come in. I called him again. He didn't come in. Finally, I got up, and I walked into the living room, and he was laying on the rug just inside our door. It's like, oh, he needs to go out again. So I took him back out again, and we came back in, and he followed me into the bedroom, and I got in bed, and he left the room. And in a little while, I thought, where is he? And I went back, and he was actually laying on the couch in the living room. And you know what? I did not sleep a wink because he never came in the bedroom, ever, that night, that I noticed. And I thought, man, there is something wrong. So I asked him when I got up, I said, Henry. He just looked at me. Then I said, treat, and he got, you know, all excited. But, you know, for the life of me, it really did bother me. It's like, well, what's wrong here? And sometimes I wonder and I think about things like that. When you see little things like that in life and you think, boy, that's kind of the way it is with me and God. He wants so much for me to be near him. He wants so much for me to hang around wherever he is, to make sure that wherever I am is where he is as well. And I think sometimes that we've just neglected that to such a point that it's affected our soul. Let me read you a passage of scripture here. It comes from Genesis in chapter 2. And I love this passage. Look at it. It says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God breathed life into the man, and that man became a living being. Before that time, he was not a living being. Think about it. He created man. Man was laying there in all of his humanness, but there was something that was not inside of him. And that thing that was missing from him was the very thing that was going to make him a living being. I think here that what God breathed in him was not just life, but he breathed in him a soul. You know, there's lots of things in life that are alive but don't have a soul. I mean, I hate to admit it, but Henry... Right? We've always said that's what makes us different from all the other living things, all the other living creatures, all the other living things that God created. There's something about our life that is different, and it's that it simply came from the very breath of God. It is our soul, and I don't think we think enough about that soul. Says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being. And then notice the very next verse. He says, and now the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put a man that he'd formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground and was pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he describes this beautiful place that God has made. And God puts the man in that garden to experience it, to enjoy it, to nurture it, and to be nurtured by it. In other words, folks, the soul, the Spirit of God that God puts within us, puts in us this ability to not only enjoy His creation, but to recognize the beauty of it and our place in it. But how can we do that if we never think about our soul? Do you ever have those conversations with that inside part of you? Conversations that you don't readily have with other people? Conversations that go something like this: you know what? Boy, I really wish that I would finally. Or conversations like this, you say, well, you know what, God? I know that you know everything about me. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know my words before I speak them. And God, I just want my thoughts to be your thoughts, my ways to be your way, your ways to be my ways, my heart to be your heart. God, be used of me. We don't have conversations like that too often because we allow the inside of ourselves to just kind of drift through a world and become what may. Rather than creating in ourselves the very person that God wants us to be. I mean, have you ever heard of a news story and they're talking about somebody that's done this terrible thing and they're going to be punished for this terrible crime that they've committed? And then you think, you know what, I'm a lawbreaker too. Maybe I haven't broken that exact law that this person has, but you know, the thing about it is, folks, God, the soul that God has put within us is what He's given us that gives us the ability to understand and to experience His grace and His forgiveness. And if we're not in touch with that part of who we are, then we are, of all people, very, very poor. Judah Smith uses the term borrowed breath. Borrowed breath in relation to this Genesis chapter 2 passage that God breathed into Adam, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and that Adam, that was when Adam became a living being. God made a lot of other things living, but this was the only one that He made that had this thing that we refer to as the soul. And God has given that to us. And Judah Smith uses this term, borrowed breath. And I really like that. You know, think about that. That God breathed in us the breath of life. And then every breath that we've taken since then is a borrowed breath. A borrowed breath that gives us energy for the journey in anticipation of our arrival. Because every breath you take is one more breath closer to eternity with Him. You know, a lot of times we think about breathing as in someday we'll take our last breath. But in reality, what I'm encouraging you to do is to think about your next breath. And how that next breath is going to give you strength for the journey so that you can anticipate the arrival as to where you're going. You see, folks, when we understand that we have within us a soul, our spiritual soul is what gives us strength today. And people that don't have this, that don't understand, well, they have it, but they don't understand it and they don't recognize it. They don't recognize that soul is there to give us strength as we're in this traveling period, because one day we're going to arrive. And what condition will we arrive? What kind of condition? How will your soul be when you arrive? You know, the Bible describes this two kinds of situations in the end times. There will be people that will be excited that the end is here, and there will be people that are terrified that the end has come. And which will it be for us? You see, because we have to think about this idea that each of us have a soul. And God wants us to understand that that soul is something that He's given us. And it's something that we need to work out each and every day. Can I tell you a little secret? I actually told this to Arlene the other day, and I've thought about it since then, and it's made me laugh. As I've gotten older, you know, I had a birthday this week, and I'm officially that age now that I don't like to think about, you know, that age, because, you know, things are really happening, and you kind of feel your age. I never believed people when they told me that, but actually Arlene and I were talking about this, and I said, honey, you know, I've lost some like core strength. You know, I have these dumbbells in my basement that I have next to my chair, and I bought them because I was going to like use them. Now they're just a giant paperweight. You know, they're just down there. But you know how that is. You know, you buy an exercise bike and you end up hanging your dirty clothes on it at night before you go to bed. It becomes like a clothes tree in there. Well, I said to Arlene, I said, you know what, honey? It's gotten to the point now that before I come up here on Sunday morning, I always make sure that I twist this cap off partially, because I'm afraid if I come up here and I haven't done that, that you guys are going to see me and I can't get it off, right? Right?
We understand.
You understand? Okay, man. I thought that was just me, but I'm serious. I do that because it's like, I remember one day I was up here and it was like that didn't come off very easy, and I thought, you know, it's going to look weird if I go down and say, Bob, can you open this for me here, you know? Yeah. But, you know, you just, things like that happen, and you never really think, but you know what, there are ways to head that off. You know, there's things that we can do, there's exercises that we can go through, we can put ourselves through a regimen to stay stronger, and, you know what? And if we don't do that, you know, we're gonna suffer from that even more. And here's the thing, folks. If you don't pay attention to the health of your soul, it can become unhealthy. You see, I think that's why that we can get to these places in life where we see someone that we really, really held in high esteem spiritually, and they can fall from such heights. It's because we put them on that pedestal, but really in their own life, they were not paying attention to their soul. They weren't paying attention to the inside part of them, the breath that God has given them to get through this journey and anticipate the arrival. And it may have looked like it on the outside, and they may have convinced us that they were doing everything that they should do, but in reality, they were not. And I think to a large degree, we all can be that way. We can all get to that point where we're not paying attention to that inside part of us, our soul, that needs to be healthy. But here's the second thing, you see. We can think about our soul being healthy, but I think we need to think about it in relation to our soul being home. Our soul being home. Not our soul being home inside of us, but where did that soul come from? It came from God. He breathed within us His breath of life. He made us into a living being. And I think in order for our soul to be home, it's not that it's home inside of us, but that we are home with our soul inside of Him, or in Him. Now, I don't mean in church. I don't mean in Sunday school. I don't mean in any of those places. I'm talking about our soul residing in us and ourselves residing in the presence of God. Because that's where we will be most healthy. You ever thought about this, folks? And this is a whole, they talk about this in light of like church growth a lot. You know, we want to talk about, and we do it today. You know, you go get a bunch of pastors in a room and right away you start thinking about and asking, you know, well, how many people go to your church? You know, and let's face it, folks, we've lost a lot of people during this whole COVID thing. You know, they're just somewhere else. And I'm not saying that they need to come home and need to come here. But I think a lot of times it's indicative of a soul not being in the place that it needs to be at home with God. Therefore, it's not healthy. And if it's healthy and at home with Him, then we're gonna know that in a wonderful and great way. But in church growth circles, a number of years ago, they stopped talking about church growth and started talking about church health. Because you know what? Healthy things grow, right? You got a plant. If it's healthy, if it's taken care of, if it's given what it needs, it'll grow. A child, as much as we say, oh my goodness, I want to put a brick on their heads and stop them from growing. No, you don't. You want a child to be healthy. And if a child is healthy, that child will grow, will mature. And the same is true spiritually. If we are healthy, then we will grow spiritually. Now, what does a healthy soul look like? It's all about being home. Having our soul in touch with our God, our Father in heaven, and knowing that He is going to be everything that we need in life. Let me show you this passage of Scripture in Psalm 92 in verse number 12. Look at this. I love this. He says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him. He mentions here that we will flourish like a palm tree. Now, what's the characteristics of a palm tree? A palm tree can flourish, can grow in the driest and most arid of climates. Right? That's the way they're made. In other words, God is saying you can flourish like a palm tree even when you think that you're not receiving the nourishment, even when you think that your roots are not deep enough. You can flourish like a palm tree. Or he says like a cedar. Let me find it again. Like a cedar of Lebanon. You will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. A cedar of Lebanon is known as the tallest, strongest, most dynamic tree around then. You see what he's saying? That we can grow, we can flourish, we can grow like a palm tree, we can grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And he goes on to describe this kind of situation where we can flourish in his courts, we can bear fruit in old age, we can stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. But here's the key, folks. The key is in the first two words of that 12th verse when he says, the righteous. The righteous can be like a flourishing palm tree. The righteous can be like a tall cedar of Lebanon. The righteous can flourish in the house of God. The righteous can bear fruit in old age and stay fresh when others do not. All because we take care of our soul. That inside part of you that it's so hard to let people see. It's even hard to describe. But you know it's there. You hear it speaking to you in your voice. And you know whether or not it is healthy or if it's home. And it all has to do with us making sure that it's healthy. Let's stay close to God. Because I think what happens is that breath of God that God breathed into us when we became a living being is the breath that He continues to breathe in us by His Holy Spirit each and every day. But if we neglect it, if we don't make sure it's healthy and at home, then we don't have these benefits that He's mentioning here in Psalm. So do we want these benefits? You know, I close with this, but I think about my mother when I think about this. My mother, I'm sure you've heard me say, the last 3 years of her life was such a struggle because she had severe lung issues and she could barely breathe. And every breath was a struggle. And I used to feel so bad for my mother because she'd just try to get into a position. You know, she had oxygen on. She took as much oxygen as she could. But if she tried to exert herself and really do anything, she just didn't have the strength to do it. And every breath was a struggle. And sometimes I feel like that's the way our life is. Every breath is a struggle. But you know what? When you're breathing the very breath of God that empowers and invigorates your soul, you can be as weak physically and still be strong because you know that soul is going to empower you for this journey. It's going to help you anticipate your arrival. And when you get there, we're going to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's all about the righteous flourishing. And what does it mean to be righteous? It simply means to be right. Not correct, but to be in the right place and in the right frame of mind, and to have a healthy soul that lends itself to much more enjoyment in life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to know that the very breath within our nostrils comes from You. That, Lord, when You breathed Your breath of life into us, that, Lord, You didn't just make us alive, but that, Lord, You gave us a soul, that part of us, Lord, that comes from You. And God, I pray that we'll be so in tune with that and in touch with that, that we'll be so concerned about the health of our soul, about where our soul resides, Lord, that it's in You, that we would not, Lord, let our soul just drift and wander in the wilderness, Lord, of this existence here, to where we become so weary, Lord, of this journey. But that, Father, we're about arriving. And Lord, as long as You are with us on this journey, that, Lord, you give us the strength for it, the stamina that we need, Lord, to remain strong. And Lord, the joy and salvation that we can have, that will help us, Lord, to enjoy it now and forevermore. So, Father, I pray that every person here this morning could lay their soul bare before you and ask you, Lord, to help us to make our souls healthy, to help us to keep our soul at home in you, and then, Lord, to enjoy the flourishing, the growth that comes from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.